Let's do this thing. Let's do this thing.
Listen to this.
Because
it could save your life.
Yeah! What is up, all of my Lit Spice Icelers, all of my Screaming Corn Babies, Sugar Bears, and Listeners.
Sugar Bears.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks especially to our patrons on patreon.com. You guys are amazing. And we actually had a team meeting the other day, which we very rarely do. I mean, we chat with each other, we text with each other, we hold psychic circle jerks with each other during the week.
The boss woke us up for a conference call.
Yeah. And I know the whole time it was, why couldn't this have been an email? Why couldn't this have been an email? But we talked about the Patreon page and our patrons, and the numbers have been going down, and I take that responsibility on myself. I've been neglecting the guys, you guys on Patreon, and we're going to do something about that now. Starting this week, you will be getting daily podcasts only on the Patreon page. That's where you're going to be getting these. They're going to be, I'm not saying that they're going to be the longest shows in the world, but there are going to be shows for you guys every single day on the Patreon page. If you want to become a subscriber and hear those shows, it's only $5 a month and you get access to all of them. You really have no idea how much we appreciate the support. And you also don't understand how bad I feel like I've let people down. Something else you need to know about the Patreon show, for legal reasons, the Friday list will now be Patreon exclusive. If you notice, we haven't been doing a list show anymore, and there's some reasons for that. We were a little burned out doing it, and then we noticed that the list shows were getting dinged for copyright every once in a while. They can't ding us on Patreon. So we're just going to have them there. So if you want to hear that, either go to weirdshow.com, find the link there to our Patreon page and support the show. Or better yet, and I would suggest everybody do this, find a friend with $5 to burn a month and ask him to download the show for you. There you go. That's all you need to do. You know, back in the day, I remember going to see a band.
It could be your Christmas present.
I remember going to see a band. I believe it was Weezer. I can't remember who it was. But they were like, hey, we have CDs for sale on the back. So one of you needs to buy the CD. And then the rest of you needed to be friends with that guy. And then bring him blank CDs so you guys can all burn CDs. Because that was a big thing in the late 90s and early 2000s. Was this idea of sharing music by burning it illegally. So I'm encouraging the same thing. Only through Patreon. And cheaper. So coming up today on the show, we have a cameo review from the one and only Penn Jillette. My facts today are about Bear Bryant, the famous coach for Alabama, the second best coach for Alabama football, and how he got the name Bear. I think we all know how we got the name Bryant.
Involve anything in the men's room?
We'll see.
Okay.
We all know how he got the last name Brian. It's because he's Bryant Gumbel's father. I'm also going to talk about this electric warm getter, which was a thing that you could buy at Hot Topic until it killed 30 people. And then we're going to talk about how you used to be able to rent an entire country in Europe. Which country was that? We'll talk about it. James, what are your facts today?
I have all World War I facts.
Love it. I love World War I. I'm always drawn to parts of history that don't seem to get talked about as much, you know? Like the Dark Ages. Literally the Dark Ages. I'm fascinated by the Dark Ages. But also like American history. All the parts in school that we used to skip, you know?
Yeah.
Because after the Revolutionary War, you skip to the Civil War. After the Civil War, you skip to a little bit of World War I, but not much. And then you get into World War II for like the last 6 months of class.
Look, here's the thing, right? World War I was good for its time, but when the sequel came out, it was just, they took everything that next level up.
I'm not disputing that. You know, they really learned their craft after the first one.
But
the craft being mass slaughter.
You didn't need as much character development You know,
that's true. What, the, that's the sequel. That's what. See, people are always bitching about. Oh, we have sequels. Yeah, you know why we have sequels? Because you don't. With a sequel, you don't have to spend the first 30 minutes explaining who these fucking people are. You don't need exposition in a sequel. You just start the movie and it's great.
And you're like, hey, Germans bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's it. Fundamental truth of life. Germans bad. Americans.
Said Jonathan Weir and James Dom.
Yeah. Look, if you can't trust us for your international bigotry, then who can you trust? It's time for Cameo reviews, and they're not on here. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to flag this part. Fucking thing.
I saw the video for Word Up yesterday.
Did you know? Like, randomly? Yeah. Like, you didn't sit down and watch it? It just came up?
Yeah, it was on MTV Classic, and I was flipping through channels, and
that's
I said...
Funny.
That's quite a cod piece.
Tell me what's the word, a word app. The 80s, you know?
Kind of.
Yeah, and not mean it either. I don't honestly have, I don't think I have any memory from the 80s that I can think of.
I remember
the Cardinals losing the World Series in 1987 and crying my eyes out. I remember that. That's it.
Okay. I remember fucking loving Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I did too. I remember that now. And my dad had a huge problem with it. And my mom was like, he likes it. Leave him alone.
I had the 45 was purchased for me. Somewhere at my parents' house, presumably there is still... the 45 for Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And my family to this day calls the song Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House Breadcrumbs, because that was how I heard the line, they come to build a wall between us.
Breadcrumbs.
To build a wall between us.
That's adorable. I might not cut this out now. I might not cut this out now. Anyway, it's time for a Cameo review.
Cameo.
Review.
Review it.
Yes! Okay, a Cameo review today is a man who I used to love, and now, through no reason of his own, I hate the sight of, the sound of, and if I ever met him personally, probably the smell of. I think he would smell like potatoes. Penn Jillette, famous musician and host of many shows on television, and
a musician
too. That's true. Jugular does that. A lot of arterial work there for Penn Jillette. I'll tell you why I can't stand Penn Jillette in a minute. But he's on Cameo. If you've never heard us do this before, Cameo is a website you go and pay celebrities, mostly B to D list celebrities, best, to just say whatever you want them to say, and Penn Jillette is there, and here's what you can get him to say. Things like
make
this.
It here this year. So I was asked by Nick to bring a...
Oh, wait, hold on. See, that's where I... Okay. It's going to play.
Hey, Zach, this is Penn.
What's good for
Penn Jillette, Penn and Teller. You know, big guy does magic. Smaller guy next to me, he does magic too. He doesn't talk that much. Anyway, you're in New York City. Went there for the acting, end up getting COVID. Yeah, kind of a bad luck. But happy birthday to you. Isn't it your birthday now? Isn't your birthday New Year's Eve? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zach. Happy birthday to you from me and from Ben. From Penn and from Ben.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with this. I have nothing to mock. I think he's doing a great job. He's wishing this guy happy birthday.
He's definitely trying to cram as much info in as small an amount of time as possible.
Yeah, but that's kind of how he always is. He's always just really he's just a machine gun of info, just firing it at you. And you have to appreciate the authority with which he talks. That is something that Penn Jillette has down, is part of his charisma. Is the ability to suck you in and also make you feel like he really knows what he's talking about. He told this guy his birthday is New Year's Eve. told this guy that. And the guy, I don't know if his birthday is
or not, it is.
But I believe
it is
it.
Now.
Right. Here's the reason I hate Penn Jillette.
Now on it is.
Through no fault of his own, I'm sure he's a wonderful man. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. It's kind of like if you, say like you were eating, I don't know, fettuccine Alfredo.
Gotcha.
You're in the middle of eating it, and all of a sudden your dog exploded, like in your face, right? Like, it's just disgusting. Like, the dog even went, and then boom, right in your face. You're never eating fettuccine Alfredo again.
Might turn you off fettuccine a little.
Might turn you off fettuccine. At least Alfredo sauce, if not the noodles. I don't know if both. Maybe you can have them separately. Have you ever had fettuccine noodles with marinara, though? It's weird. you wouldn't eat it anymore. People have that. Like, some people have that. Like, oh, that tastes bad to me because that's, you know, my parents told me that they were getting a divorce. They bought me ice cream first, and now anytime I have ice cream, I think of divorce. Penn Jillette was the favorite person of the worst person I've ever met. The worst person I've ever worked with in radio. It was my former program director at KMBZ, the one who hired me for the job, and then who subsequently got fired a couple years later for being an abusive asshole. And that program director in Las Vegas had been fired from his job, and Penn Jillette was looking for a producer for his podcast, and he hired my program director to produce that. Because of that, my program director acts like he was best friends with Penn Jillette. He worked with him, and I'm sure it was a great work experience the way he talks about it. I made the mistake when I was being hired of indulging this and telling the guy that I was a big fan of Penn Jillette. Because we were just like, oh, what's your resume? You know, oh, well, here's who I used to work with. And he says he worked with Penn Jillette. And I was like, oh, I love Penn Jillette. Like, he did that show Bullshit on Showtime. I love that show. And he's like, you ever listen to his podcast? And I was like, I did not. No, I did. I never listened to that. And he's like, oh, well, I was the producer on it. It's like, okay, well, the show on Showtime was really good. Anytime this motherfucker could casually, no, not even casually, could sledgehammer.
Shoehorn.
No, not even shoehorn. Sledgehammer. The fact that he knew Penn Jillette into conversation, he would do it. He would do it. You would be sitting there in the middle of a meeting. You'd be talking about, I don't know.
Guy walks by. He's like, gee, that guy's tall. You know who else is tall?
Penn Jillette. Yeah, Penn Jillette.
No one personally.
You'd be sitting there like, okay, this horrible school shooting happened. How do we handle this? Well, you know, when I was doing Penn Jillette's Bible school, this is the way we handled it. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's great. You were on a podcast. Okay, fine. Awesome. Good job.
Close personal friend of mine.
Right. Yeah. You see this pencil? Yeah. I wish it was Penn, but Penn Jillette. That's what I wish it was. You know, his name isn't Pencil Jillette. It's Penn Jillette. Yeah. Hey, where would be the ideal place for you to take a vacation? I don't know. Florida? You know, for me, Pennsylvania. Because you know why? Because my good friend Penn Jillette. Doesn't he live in Vegas? Yeah. Pennsylvania. The state was named after him. It's true. Not William Penn.
Know that.
Not William Penn. His dad didn't buy him an entire state. By the way, if you ever get a chance, look up the history of Pennsylvania. It is fucking crazy. It's a fascinating thing, but it is crazy. It was literally just some rich guy in England was like, my son's annoying. I'm going to buy him a state in America and send him over there to start a cult of Quakers. Anyway, God bless Penn Jillette. I love Penn Jillette. And I honestly, it's $125 for this cameo. I'm genuinely thinking of buying it. Genuinely thinking of buying it just so I can get him to say, I don't know who Jack Landreth is. That guy's a douchebag. I'll say I'm buying it as a pep talk for Jack because he lost probably yet another job. And just tell you, Jack, you can't work with me ever again because you sucked at your job and I hated you. But I'm sure someone will give you another shot. Everybody deserves a 17th chance. You know? There's just something I cannot abide in my industry, and it's people who are assholes. Like, I understand it if you're when I worked on the railroad, People were assholes. When I worked as in pizza delivery, people were assholes. And I'm not saying I liked the fact that they were assholes. I just understood. You're working. This isn't where you wanted to end up. This isn't where you want to be. Nobody looks forward to going to their job on the railroad. Nobody looks forward to their job delivering pizza. Nobody. Not one person is going in, going, all right, let's get to it today. Nobody. Not one person feels that way. We're literally paid to make dick and fart jokes on the air, and you're still a dick? Well, then you're just an asshole. Because I think I could take somebody who's on the railroad and put them in a fun job, and they would be a nice person. It would totally change who they were. Because I was becoming an asshole when I was on the railroad, and that's one of the reasons I worked to get out of there. Don't understand people who are dicks when it comes to radio. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I've met way too many of them.
I mean, do you need somebody to be like, you know, the authority figure every now and then? Like, you know, hey guys, we just sit down and have a talk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with, you know, we need to talk about the show.
That could be done without, yeah, without being a...
Yeah, no, this guy literally said to me one time, when my ratings were good...
Being a total rager.
He told me, hey, I've been listening to your show. I was listening to your show last week when I was on vacation. I was like, oh, yeah, what'd you think? He was like, it sucks. And I went, okay, well, what do I do about that? And he went, I don't know, stop sucking. That was the guy who's supposed to be coaching me. Like, imagine any coach in any other life. Like, you can imagine other bosses doing that at other jobs that don't require, like, creative input or don't require practice or skill. Just, okay, stop sucking. You're making the burgers wrong. Stop doing that. Make them the way you're supposed to. But even then, there's a way you're supposed to do it. I was just like, okay, well, tell me what I'm doing wrong. And he went, I don't know, just stop sucking. And I was like, I just looked at my ratings. I don't suck. Why is he taking this out on me? Anyway.
Because he can't take it out on him.
So Pendulette, 125, that's a steal. That is a steal. If you can hear Pendulette talk without the bile rising to the tip of your throat, unlike me, unfortunately, I would say it's a good deal. I used to love Pendulette, and now I can't stand him anymore, but that's just me. It's not his fault. It's all because of some god-awful person I used to work for.
He was in a Run DMC video, for God's sake.
He was.
He had big, fluffy poodle hair.
I mean, I haven't gone back and watched it, but that bullshit show was great.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
reference that show all the time. Like, anytime people are like, oh, you know, it's not exactly a classy restaurant or something like that. I'm like, yeah, classy restaurants don't exist. You're paying to pay. You're paying. I learned that from bullshit. Like, they did a thing where they were literally, they set up a fancy restaurant and they were giving people tap water out of a hose. And they're giving people whipped cream and calling it vanilla mousse. And people were like, oh my God, this is delectable. Like, they had a bunch of pretentious dude. Anyway, whatever. That's it. That's the cameo review. All right, it's time for facts.
Facts.
Facts are facts.
Yeah. All right. My first fact today is this. Bear Bryant, who was the very famous coach from Alabama, second
Woo.
Most successful
Bama
coach
Woo.
In Bama history behind Nick Saban. He himself wasn't in Forrest Gump, but I think a physical representation of him as the football coach wearing the plaid hat that was kind of his houndstooth hat. That was Bear Bryant. And the way he got his name was apparently when he was a child, he was 13 years old, he was already 6'1", 180 pounds. That is massive for a 13-year-old. Just in case you're not aware, that's actually bigger than I am right now. So massive that Bryant thought he could wrestle a bear. The teenager was challenged to wrestle an imposing mammal at a carnival for $1. Bryant accepted and came away mostly unscathed, though his ear was bitten. But the carnival never paid him. $1, by the way, in 1926, I did the math on this, is worth $15 today. That was apparently too steep to pay for the carnival. So that's why he was named Bear. I find things like that really funny. Interesting, like how celebrities got different names, because at a certain point you also think, if you've only heard that name, you think, oh, that's just their name. Like, I didn't know Bear Bryant had, that was his nickname. I thought his parents' name, Bear Grylls, was named Bear, you know. It's not that people can't be named Bear. So I looked it up, famous nicknames, the stories behind 10 celebrity nicknames. I'm not going to give all 10. It's like Bing Crosby used to read from some fake newspaper called Bingtown. It was a mock hillbilly newspaper. And he's like, boo, 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 boo. And his actual name is Harry Crosby. But he got the name Bing because he really liked that paper. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, James.
I thought his actual first name was Stills and Nash.
Just gonna let that one have a chance to clear the room before we get back. Do it. Flea. What's Flea's actual name?
Michael Balzari.
He got his nickname from jumping around on stage. I mean, it's not that hard. Also, he loves dogs, apparently, like has a weird attachment to dogs. Sting. Do you know how Sting got his name? Blood. You know how Sting got his name?
His yellow and black striped sweater that he would wear?
It was actually a jacket or a jumper, as the Brits call it. When he was in a band, not the Police yet, he was in a band called the Phoenix Jazzmen.
Oh.
Yeah. And his name was Gordon Sumner. And there was another guy in the band named Gordon Solomon who went, you know, that's two Gordons too many, so you're Sting now. All right.
Because you look like a bee.
You look like a
turkey.
Bee. You want to hear a really sad one? Peter Sellers. It's not a nickname, but his name actually isn't Peter. His name is Richard. Okay. Peter Sellers from Dr. Strangelove, from the Pink Panther, a comedic genius, being there. Apparently, his parents, his name is Richard Henry Sellers, but his parents called him Peter all the time because he was their second child. He never met his older brother, Peter, who died very early in life. His parents called him Peter so often they eventually just decided it was a nickname, which Sellers later took to showbiz.
Man.
That's dark, right? Moving on from that one.
And they wondered why that guy had issues.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that is a... Sometimes tragedy is a necessary component to comedy because it makes it so that you don't laugh at... You stay in the moment. You treat it as a serious moment because you can always just go back to that dark inner core of yourself. Like, anytime you're like, oh, this is supposed to be funny, I'm not going to laugh at that, though. I'm going to take this seriously. And there's nothing funny about people... I mean, in conversation, yes. On a podcast, fine. But there's nothing funny if you're watching a movie and people are laughing at the guy who's supposed to be funny. It's when people take the funny guy seriously that it becomes hilarious, right? Peter Sellers was great at that. Whoopi Goldberg. Speaking of comedy geniuses. Whoopi Goldberg. You know why she got the name Whoopi?
Did she really like Whoopi cushions?
She farted constantly. All the time. This isn't a made up thing. She farted so much that people used to tell her, you're like a whoopee cushion, and that's where the name came from.
That's better than mine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Way to go, Whoopi.
Yeah, way to go. Tiger Woods, his actual name isn't Tiger, it's Eldrick. We all know that though. Red Fox got his nickname Red. His actual name is John Elroy Sanford. He got his name, I didn't know, by the way, that his actual name was Sanford either, like Sanford and Son. I didn't know that. got his name from Malcolm X.
Okay.
Malcolm X referred to him in his autobiography as Chicago Red, but the nickname had been around, apparently, since he was a kid. It's just Malcolm X solidified it. So, yeah. I mean, it's a good thing Red Fox wasn't white, otherwise he would have just been that honky over there. Because, you know, Malcolm X. R.I.P. James, what's your first fact?
My first fact is that in World War I, tanks were considered to have genders.
What?
Yep.
Because they got a muzzle. Mm-hmm.
So, the first tank, and this is kind of interesting, what they consider the mother tank, because it was the prototype, was named Little Willie. Little Willie was a male tank. So, tanks have a male mother. So, there was some concern when they first rolled out the tanks, because they didn't have turrets. Let me look this up real quick. I forgot the name of the little... They had little side compartments on the sides of the treads.
Mm-hmm.
What were they called? Blah, 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 blah. Mm. Sponsons.
Sponsons.
So there are these little compartments on the outside of the treads.
Mm-hmm.
So they had these two little compartments on either side. And the original tank had a 6-pound naval gun kind of facing forward. And you could move it a little bit, but it was mostly forward facing. And it had a machine gun kind of facing toward the back. They had some concerns that with the 6-pound naval gun, which was, you know, the cannon, you know, it's shooting a 6-pound shell,
mm-hmm,
that infantry would be able to kind of get past that and, uh-huh, attack the tank on foot. And the machine gun was kind of set toward the back, and they could kind of just come up toward the front of it and take out the tank.
Right.
So they decided to do a different kind of tank where in the sponsons, instead of having the cannon up front and the machine gun in the back, just had two machine guns.
Okay.
So the ones with the big cannon up front were males.
Ah, they're the men's.
And the ones with the machine guns, the man killers, were females.
Mm. I mean, it's not unheard of. It's a weird thing if you have taken any foreign language, you find out that these other countries are crazy and they give genders to everything.
Yep.
Which I don't know why we don't have in English. But I thank God that we do, because English is confusing enough as a language. It'd be very weird if we had to refer, if we had to think of, well, would this laptop have a dick? I don't know. I think a laptop is more of a vagina because it opens, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
This microphone, however.
A mouse is a dick. Sure. A keyboard?
The microphone?
The microphone. Oh, yeah, it's a big dick. Big old black dick. Or silver.
Just wants to be right in your face.
Yeah, just right there. Just getting all up in your business.
Like it was the governor of Missouri.
Yeah.
Little, oh, don't cry.
A little dated.
Don't cry.
A little dated on that reference, but pretty good. Pretty good. And yeah.
You guys look up Eric Greitens.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they know. They know. Some of my best moments on air are making fun of Eric Greitens. It was, okay, real quick, just because you mentioned it. I didn't, if you listen to the Weird Show radio show, I didn't do a lot of serious stuff, obviously. It was mostly a fun, silly show. But the Eric Greitens thing managed to hit that perfect Venn diagram of fun things to talk about and just serious enough that it'll give me credibility as a news talk host. So if anybody was like, oh, he doesn't do anything serious, you could be like, well, he did talk about Eric Greitens a lot. The day that it was the funniest sequence of events, like, I remember one day getting on air and saying, Eric Greitens in a lot of trouble. I think he did it. I think he needs to own up to it. And I think he needs to step down. Somebody's just going to have to make him do it. Like, he's not going to do it on his own. He has no capacity for shame, and he's just not going to step down because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He'll continue running the state knowing that he has this horrible sex scandal over his head, but somebody needs to make him step down. And then the next day, he was like, I'm not going to step down. I'm defiant. Held a press conference at 10 a.m. I'm not going to step down. I'm defiant. Then at like 10:30, somebody came out and was like, if he doesn't step down, we're going to reveal where all of his campaign finance came from. And then at 11, he's like, I'm done. I'm done.
I feel out. It's in the best interest of the state that I step down. It's just too much of a distraction.
I don't know where he was getting that money from, but it was from a dark place. A dark, dark, seedy place.
Living and working in the city of St. Louis, I can't say I have been tremendously impressed by what the circuit attorney Kim Gardner has done for the most part. But she got that done.
Oh, she got that
done. She is the reason.
Yeah.
She is the reason that man is not our governor right now.
It was so funny because everyone is like, it's selective prosecution by Kim Gardner. You know, she needs to go after these people. She needs to go after meh. And then, like, literally 30 minutes later, we're going to tell everybody where your money came from. And he was like, I'm done. You know what? I've thought about it over the last 30 minutes, and it's time for me to step down. My second fact.
Also, will you...
Yes, go ahead.
Also, will you drop that case?
Yeah, please. Did she? I can't remember.
I think she did. Yeah. I think that was like, okay, you resigned. That's good enough for me.
Imagine having that. That's not how democracy is supposed to work. Like,
no.
Oh, yeah. We will use your withholding of dignity and shame. You can use that for your advantage. So we're only encouraging shamelessness by giving this to you. But what are we going to do? My second fact.
End result.
There was a product sold in the 80s and 90s called the Electric Worm Getter. It was sold to fishermen for the collection of earthworms for bait. It sent an electric shock through the top layer of soil, forcing the worms to surface. So it was a really cool way to get a bunch of worms if you needed worms for fishing. It had to be recalled in 1993 after 30 people died using it. They were shocking themselves to death. See, the funny thing about this is I'm sure there's some of you listening to this going, that's still available. You can get my grandpa used to use one of those. We have it in my basement. This was actually a very popular thing. The worm getter was like the version of it that you could buy in the store. It literally at Spencer's Gifts. You could go into Spencer's and buy this thing. But just shocking the ground and getting worms to come up was apparently like is an old thing. It's called telephoning. And I've spoken to people who've done it with worms, but we had a very long conversation one time with a guy. I'm referencing my old radio show too much, but I can't help it. This all lines up. We talked to this guy who called in and said that he would take two telephone wire leads. I don't know how this works because I don't understand how old telephones work, but apparently it was electricity. And you put them under the water, and so long as you don't touch them, you're fine. And they'll just shock the hell out of anything in the water and kill it and make it float up to the top. And I asked him, because I think we were talking about stumping originally, where you like shove your hand into like a hole and pull a catfish out on your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I got something better than stumping. It's phoning. And that's what it was. Like, it's an old dial-up, like the thing that they used to use, the CIA used to put to your nuts to torture you.
Field telephone, yeah.
Yeah, field
crank
telephone.
Crank it up and...
Yep. And...
if he wasn't VC before, he sure as fuck is now.
Yes. What is that from? The Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
They mentioned using the field telephone, but I think that was a book that we read in college, or I did at least. And it was like, they would interrogate these guys they thought were Viet Cong.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't get anything from them, they're like, well, if he wasn't VC before, he sure is fucking
now. I swear to God, that's in that movie. Anyway, so the guy was like, yeah, I do this and I shock and the fish come up. And I was like, have you ever tried fishing? Have you ever just tried fishing? And he's like, what? This is this. I was like, this isn't fishing. This is like throwing sticks of dynamite in the lake and scooping whatever comes up off the top. That's not real fishing. And he's like, yeah, but I get like a ton more fish than anybody who's fishing. And I'm like, okay, but then at least you admit it's not real fishing. I had so many people who were like, how dare you denigrate that man? Like, he was some kind of national hero. He's shocking fish to death. He's a horrible person. That's not hunting. That's let's go kill Bambi with a bazooka. That's overkill.
I've gone fishing not many times in my life, but I rarely cared about actually getting fish. It was just kind of a nice, relaxing thing.
Leisurely activity. Nothing wrong with
it. If you do catch a fish, cool. Mm-hmm. If not, you know.
All right, what's your second?
Sat out in nice weather and had some beer.
What's your second fact there, James?
Okay. There is a curious coincidence with the license plate that was on the car that Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated in.
Ooh. The story by behind the assassination is fascinating, by the way. But yeah, I want to hear this.
Okay. So Archduke Franz Ferdinand, the heir apparent of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, was in Sarajevo with his wife, who was a duchess from Germany. Let's see. Duchess Sophie of Hohenberg.
Hohenberg? Oh, Sophie.
Hohenberg.
She's a Hohenberg.
Hohenberg had a bit of a reputation in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Big surprise.
So, well, they were driving around Sarajevo. And at one point earlier in the day, someone threw a grenade at them.
Mm-hmm.
And it went off behind the car. They didn't time it right.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, here's a grenade for that ass. And it blew up behind the car. And they're like,
for that ass.
That's what they said.
Yeah, yeah.
Those Serbs.
Yeah.
Got a grenade for that ass.
Yeah.
So they pull off. They go somewhere. And I can't remember where he was heading. His original plan was, but he pulled over. He went to a police station or something. He's like, is this how you greet people in this country? Blah, 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 blah. And he's all indignant because he's a fucking archduke and was
mad,
born to be a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and somebody tried to kill him. I get.
I mean, I think I'd be a little upset.
You know, it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
You got to chalk that up to the game.
Sure. When you're an archduke, people are going to throw grenades at you. Sure. Yeah. Anyway.
It's like, you know, sometimes you're about that street life and sometimes you get arrested. You know, let's just chalk that up to the game.
Okay.
So.
Is she a hoe in the burg and a hoe in the sheets? Sorry. All right. Go ahead. I was waiting. Oh, yes. I was waiting to say that, and I couldn't find the right moment.
So, to his credit, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, there were quite a few people who were injured by this grenade blast.
Yep.
So he said, "Let's go visit these people and tell them that I, as their benevolent god king, wish them well."
Okay, you're kind of making him seem like more of a dick than he was. He went to the hospital to visit these people because they were injured in an attack on his life, and he felt bad about it. He, by all accounts, he wasn't that bad of a dude.
His dad was a dick.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to dispute that, but that doesn't mean my dad's a dick. That doesn't mean that I am.
Sometimes the son has to pay for the sins of the father.
I mean, I am, but that doesn't mean that I am. Anyway.
Okay, so. Apparently, the itinerary had changed and the driver didn't get the memo. Mm-hmm. So he ends up going down this side street and there's just nowhere for the car to go.
Yeah.
By the way, he's stuck.
Anytime I've read about this story, I always get the image in my head of the Austin Powers thing where the car is stuck and he just keeps going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Yeah.
So ends up on this side street. There's nowhere for the car to go. So they're trying to turn around. In a cafe nearby is Gavrilo Princip.
Yep.
And he is a Serbian nationalist, maybe anarchist, member of a group called the Black Hand.
The same people who had tried to assassinate Archduke Franz Ferdinand earlier that day. Gavrilo Princip was there. He wasn't the one who threw the grenade, but he was there when they tried to assassinate Franz Ferdinand. And then
he was one of the backup guys.
And then they went, after they didn't kill him, they went to a cafe to drown their sorrows. And then he comes out, and right there, going back and forth all Austin Powers style, is Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
So Gavrilo Princip has a little 380 FNN handgun, model 1910, essentially based on, I think, John Browning's design. It's essentially kind of a smaller version of the Colt 45.
Okay.
So he goes, okay, this is my time to shine, and walks up and just, I think he shot Franz Ferdinand in the neck first, and then shot his wife, and he just shot the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Killed them both, went to prison, actually died of tuberculosis before they could
try him.
Funny, he may have got tried, but before they could
execute him.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and it's kind of revisionist, but the license plate on that car was A111118.
Okay.
Which they have kind of said after the fact stands for Armistice, 11th of November, 1918.
What?
It's kind a coincidence, of making,
but that's crazy.
That's you're making the fact fit the
but still, I mean, that's still pretty nuts.
Yeah. A11 11 18.
Wow.
Because of course the armistice was signed on November 11, 1918.
That's crazy though.
And both that car is in a national museum, I think in Vienna.
The
car that he was killed in. And they still have the pistol that Gavrilo Princip killed him with.
Well, you can go to... What was the city that it was in?
Sarajevo.
Sarajevo, right. You can go to Sarajevo, and they actually have... It's a little messed up, but they actually have like these bronze boots in the street. I feel like I know this because they replaced the boots. I can't remember. It's either the boots are still there, or there's footprints there where you can literally stand in the exact spot where Princip stood when he shot Archduke Franz Ferdinand, wife, which is a little disturbing. Like when you think about it, like, hey, you know, you can go into the Columbine High School. I mean, it was a mass shoot. It was a horrifying thing that this guy did. It wasn't like, I know it's history, but it's still disturbing.
Apparently the Serbs weren't real big into being in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah. Well,
they didn't sign up for it.
There's a lot of people who wondered, like, did he know that it would cause this whole giant escalation of and he had no idea. He was just mad because he didn't like the Austro-Hungarian Empire, wanted Serbia to be out of it. And when push came to shove, what happened was, like, the Austro-Hungarians were like, you need to apologize for the Serbian. The Serbians were like, yeah, sure, we're sorry. They're like, no, not good enough. And then they started beating the shit out of them. And, right, that's basically what happened. They kind of proved that maybe there's a reason why the Serbians were bucking a little bit at their domination. Let me tell you about my buddy Cody Akins at AkinsBCRepair.com. I have to talk quietly so my son doesn't hear me right now. Like many of you parents out there, I have been trying desperately to get a PS5 for my son for Christmas. He deserves it. He's a good kid. Problem is, can't get it anywhere. If you try to buy it anywhere, well, too bad. A bunch of trolls have already snaked it out from underneath you. There's literally a story I saw the other day about people going all fast and furious on delivery trucks with PS5s in it, where they will box it in, slow down the semi. Somebody then will get in a SUV, climb out through the moonroof. Are you listening to this? Climb out through the moonroof, climb in the back of the semi, and steal a bunch of PS5s that way. That's how desperate people are getting for these things. Well, you don't need to hijack a semi. I mean, you can if you want. I'm not encouraging lawlessness. I'm encouraging entertaining stories for me to talk about. But you don't need to hijack a PS5. You can do what I did. Go to Cody Akins, tell him, look, I need a good gaming PC for my kid for Christmas. You kill two birds with one stone. Chances are, if you have a kid, they're doing a lot of virtual online classes. They need a good computer anyway, and they get a gaming system out of it too. It's a little more expensive than a PS5, but it's better. It runs better. It'll last longer, and they can't do their homework on a PS5. If you have no idea what I'm talking about and you don't care about gaming or anything like that, that's fine too. Cody can fix your laptop. He can sell you a new laptop. He can fix your iPhone. He can sell you a new iPhone. Anything that you need with a screen, go to my buddy Cody Akins. He will take care of it for you. Everybody needs that guy. You just do. A guy that you can depend on who's not going to screw you over when it comes to technology, whether that's a mechanic, an electrician, or in this case, a computer guy. So make my computer guy your computer guy. Go to Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. All right. My third fact is this. You used to be able to rent the entire country of Liechtenstein for $700 a night.
Oh.
On Airbnb. Like, you could go on Airbnb and rent the entire country of Liechtenstein. You could do it. You would get a ski resort in the Principality of Liechtenstein, $70,000 a night, but it was a minimum of two nights. So you got to spend $140,000 on this. You can hire the country, which measures around 61.7 square miles and has about 35,000 inhabitants. According to the profile on Airbnb, Liechtenstein can accommodate between 450 to 900 people, has 500 plus bedrooms and 500 plus bathrooms. The cancellation policy is classified as super strict, which means you get a 50% refund after booking if you cancel it, whatever. For $65,000, you can also rent the Austrian village of Alpbach in the Tyrolean Alps, whatever. If you do this, you get to hang out with whoever the king of Liechtenstein is. Probably some inbred fuck that you don't want to talk to and doesn't even speak the language that you speak. And you can, like, rename streets. Like, you can do a lot of stuff. You can rent an entire country. I'm just saying, I miss the days when we could go to other countries. That's all. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Something to look forward to. After this is over, James, I think we should rent Liechtenstein.
Hey, you know, we need to bump those Patreon numbers up a little bit.
That's right. We rent it and we make all of them subscribe to Patreon.
And if we get that goal, uh-huh, then we can invite some of you guys to join us in Liechtenstein.
In Liechtenstein, huh? Wherever that is, somewhere around Switzerland. I believe I drove through Liechtenstein when I was in Germany because they're like, hey, we're in Liechtenstein, and now we're not. Like, it was like, yeah.
It's a principality,
yeah,
you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was a grand duchy. Because you have grand duchies around.
It's a principality. You know Cinderella's castle? Like, the famous, mm-hmm, Disney castle? That is in Liechtenstein. I can't remember what that's called. But it's there. So, yeah. Used to be able to rent an entire country. I would say, for $70,000, that's not a bad deal. If just for the gravitas of saying that you rented an entire country. I mean, there are like suites in Vegas that you can rent for $100,000 a night.
Right.
You know, and they're really nice. But I'm just saying, for $70,000, an entire country?
I don't think you get to hang out with the king of Las Vegas.
Probably not. Who is Penn Jillette, by the way? That is the king of Las Vegas.
He took over for Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Well, R.I.P., you know. All right, James, what is your third and final fact?
My third and final fact is the one that could save your life.
Damn right.
It involves poison gas.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, got your attention now, don't I?
Well, I did fart, so I guess that...
So, France, not Germany, was the first country to use gas against the enemy troops in World War I. And apparently this was not very well thought out initially by either side, because they just had these big containers that they would drag out into no man's land and activate.
Mm-hmm.
Problem with that being, if the wind changed, it could blow the gas right back at you.
Yeah.
Eventually they developed artillery shells with gas payloads, and that was a much better plan. So what they were using initially were xylobromide against the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially tear gas.
Yep.
So it made you want to, you couldn't see and you wanted to leave. Put you at a distinct disadvantage for, you know, any attacks. The Germans are like, okay, we can do that too. And so they tried it against the Russians initially, but it was so goddamn cold, the gas froze.
Gas can
so
freeze?
The Germans are like, yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
I guess technically it'd revert to liquid state first.
You're like, hey, don't lick those yellow icicles. Ah, they look delicious. They're bad.
This tastes like sadness.
I want to get a bunch of tear gas, freeze it, and give it to unsuspecting people as ice cream. Just to end 2020 on a good note.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Gas. Okay. This was in January 1915. They used it against the Russians, and the gas turned to liquid in the cold air. So, mm-hmm, it just didn't work. Okay. April 1915, the Germans were the first to use poisonous chlorine gas. Ah. During World War One, Germans released about 68,000 tons of gas. British and French about 51,000 tons. In total, 1.2 million soldiers on both sides were gassed, of which almost 92,000 died horrible deaths.
Jesus. Yeah.
Approximately 30 different poisonous gases were used during World War One. They didn't really have gas masks.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a folk theory that was proposed that said, you know, find a cloth or a sock and piss on it and put it over your mouth. The idea was in your urine, there's ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
And that would counteract the chlorine gas to such a point that
it wouldn't poison you. Chlorine gas, ammonia, and bleach? So it would neutralize the... Okay, whatever. All right.
That was the wisdom. Turns out that wasn't it. Chlorine just dissolves in water.
Ah.
Said another site that I looked into. So no chlorine would ever pass through the wet pieces of cloth on their face.
Okay.
They could have used coffee and the trick would have still worked.
Ah.
Later gases such as phosphine and mustard gas would not be neutralized by such primitive means. And phosphine was colorless and odorless, I believe, because chlorine gas was distinct. Like it was kind of yellow and, you know, you could smell it coming and you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
But phosphine was, I think, colorless and odorless, and it essentially liquefied your lungs. You drowned in bed several days later because you couldn't.
It's awful. Yeah, it feels like drowning. Christy Mathewson got hit with that famous pitcher.
Oh.
Yeah, it was awful.
And mustard gas was really, really nasty too. It actually apparently wasn't so much a gas as it was a liquid, but it would seep into your clothes and it would cause horrendous blistering wherever it touched your skin.
Yeah, I mean, gas was so bad, like as horrifying as, especially on the Eastern Front, as things were in World War II between the Germans and the Soviets. And I'm talking about these guys literally, at one point, the Soviets couldn't get traction on the road. So they took a bunch of German prisoners, laid them down, and sprayed them with a fire hose so that they froze to death, and then by freezing to death, their bodies acted as traction to drive the trucks over. Horrifying. Horrifying things. And that's not even, I mean, that's just the first thing that comes to mind when I think of it.
Right.
And they still didn't use gas on each other in World War II because so many people remembered how horrible it was before. It was unsportsmanlike. Yeah. It was just wrong.
So, okay, let's see here. So modern advice, and this I saw from, I think it was Homeland Security. So the modern advice for if there is a gas attack where you're at, if you're outside, you seek high ground.
Mm-hmm.
If any of your clothing was exposed to the gas, just strip bare ass naked.
Okay.
Get inside if you can. Any open windows, close them, obviously. You get a chimney, shut the damper. Any kind of seams on windows and doors, if you have plastic sheeting and duct tape,
mm-hmm.
tape those up as best you can.
I remember that from after 9/11. They were saying put duct tape on your windows, and we all laughed at them.
But if there's a gas attack, maybe have some plastic sheeting lying around.
But that also, the problem with that is if you put the duct tape on, it keeps the gas in the house, too. So if you... You know,
if you were a Johnny come lately, it's not the best.
I just meant if you ate at
okay.
I'm not going to say Taco Bell because that's too easy. All right, that is the show for today. Hopefully, some of those facts were interesting, and hopefully, most importantly, they saved your life. Again, we're going to have new shows starting this week on Patreon. So if you want to hear all of our special stuff, just go to weirdshow.com And there's a link for our Patreon page there. It's only $5 a month. And in fact, I think you can pay less, but I'm not encouraging it. But you do need to pay something to hear all the special goodness. And we have, of course, today's Thursday. Monday's show is a great show. Regular Weir show with Rod and James and me, where we talked about how I overdosed on stool softeners over the weekend. So that's fun. But yeah, if you want to hear the special goodness, go to patreon.com or weirshow.com, find our Patreon link and subscribe. And if you can't, you know what? I'm just going to say this too. If you don't have $5 a month, that's totally fine. I get it. Why would you pay for something that you're getting for free right now? If you don't want to pay anything, fine. At least do this. Help us out with this. Go on to whatever podcast app you have. Listen to the show and leave a review. Leave a 5-star review for the show, especially on Apple, iTunes. That helps us get exposure. It helps us be found. If you leave a review, remember, if you like the show, it's 5 stars. If you don't like the show, it's also 5 stars. I don't know why they make it like that, but you can only leave 5 stars. Even if you hate the show, even if you think it's the worst thing you've ever heard, it's only 5 stars. That's all you can leave. So 5-star reviews. I think we're going to start
the lowest and the highest.
We're going to start a new thing next week with the 5-star reviews where you can ask questions through there that we're going to use to finish the regular old Weir show. So make sure you go to iTunes and leave 5-star reviews for the Weir show. All right. Bye.
Adios.